Hello, St. Pete. Welcome back to Just Getting Started. I am Dr. Kanika Tomlin, Deputy Mayor and City Administrator of the beautiful city of St. Pete. And I'm so excited for today's guest because I was actually a guest of theirs not too long ago. We have Kevin Godby and Lori Brown of the St. Pete Foodies Scene podcast, website, all things St. Pete culinary scene. And they are going to give us a peek behind the curtain on how things are happening on St. Pete's culinary scene. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Madam Deputy Mayor.
I was on your show
yes.
to talk about St. Pete Eats, a cookbook,
mm-hmm.
which was an endeavor I lovingly took on just recently, filled with recipes from awesome chefs around our city.
Yes.
And you were wonderful to open your platform to talk about that and help promote it. And it sold out.
Oh, awesome. Oh, we're so happy to hear that.
As you know, the proceeds help the restaurants that participated and other local businesses
mm-hmm.
through our city's Fighting Chance Fund. So thanks for your part in spreading the word and getting that help into the right hands.
Absolutely.
And maybe there are some restaurants that are carrying it or some brick and mortars might still have some.
Yeah. If they still have their stock, it's there. But the publisher, all of the printed copies they had are gone.
Will you be printing more?
We are talking about that and trying to decide. We're here for the restaurants. We wrap our arms around them however we can and all of our small and locally owned businesses. So again, thank you.
Yes.
As I said, I had a few opportunities to talk about the book. Sitting with you guys was one of my favorite.
Aw, thank you.
Because you really brought a lot of expertise to the conversation. It was fun.
Yes.
Yeah, and speaking of you being on our show, if anybody wants to hear that hasn't yet, they can Google St. Pete Foodies podcast episode 101. Or, you know, St. Petersburg Foodies interview Deputy Mayor Dr. Kanika Tomlin.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you. So you're here.
We are.
And I plan to use the most of this time to help everybody who loves St. Pete and loves food and loves our restaurant scene as much as I do, as much as you do,
mm-hmm.
to give them some insight, the things we all want to know and think about that you have a front row view to. So let's start with a little bit about yourselves and your podcast and the effort. Tell me about it, how long it's been around, and what inspired you to take it on.
We started a Facebook group back in May of 2015 called St. Petersburg Foodies Restaurant Reviews. And that's what really kind of brought it on. I bugged Kevin for probably 3 or 4 months to build us a website.
So it's really Lori's fault.
It's my fault. He built the website, and that has just turned 4 years old this month. And so did the podcast 2 years old this month. So yeah, that's where we are with that. But it started that way. I'm a realtor in other times, but yeah.
I've been in internet publishing content and internet advertising for, I'm around 20 years actually. So almost since day one of the internet. And I think it's important to describe for people who may not know what St. Petersburg Foodies is and is not. So we're not food critics. And ironically, sometimes we get criticized for not being critics.
We do.
But we're food writers. And when we first started, we actually had like 2 negative reviews on our site in the beginning. And they're long since gone. We deleted those because we decided we didn't want negativity to be a part of our brand. And also, I mean, if a restaurant is really bad, they are not going to need our help to go out of business, or maybe they
It'll
get lucky
care
and
of
fix
itself,
things.
Right?
Yeah.
We are not here to put restaurants out of business.
Yeah. And we have like, part of our business model, I mean, we are actually a commercial endeavor. Some people don't realize that. Some people think we're just doing it for fun as a hobby. And it is fun, but
it's a lot of work.
You're making a living talking about your passion, talking about what you love.
So what's not unique is that we publish niche content that attracts a specific audience that advertisers want to reach. That's old school newspaper magazine stuff. What's unique about it is that our advertisers are restaurants. So our success is tied to their success. And some people might say, well, oh, so you're going to just stack the deck and just write glowing things about your advertisers. That's not the case, because for 2 reasons. One, we will only accept advertising from a restaurant that we would recommend to a friend.
Sure.
We've turned money down.
We turned down money. You know, we had somebody say, oh, this restaurant wants to advertise with you. And we didn't know them. And we go there incognito. And just hypothetically, I'm not going to mention any names, and decided, you know, we weren't really impressed and said, no, thank you. So if you see a restaurant ad on our website, You can take that as an endorsement.
That's an endorsement.
Yes, exactly.
And the integrity of your process is easily tested. I mean, it only takes a few times to see if it isn't aligned with the actual experience. So,
right. People can go in and they can look at the reviews that we have and they can look at our sponsors right on the website and they will see that a good probably 75% of them are not sponsors.
Sure.
We actually have right now 11 restaurant advertisers and we have published 200 reviews.
I love your site. I love your podcast. You do a great job of telling stories and sharing stories and digging deeper than kind of just the surface experience of eating, but all of the anthology that went into that experience, often from the chef's perspective or the restaurateur's perspective, even the industry's perspective. You had Laura Riley on not long ago.
Yeah, that was a great podcast.
It was really, really nice. Laura, formerly a Time staffer here in our community, now works for the Washington Post and writes about the industry of the restaurant scene and food scene.
And I would go so far to say is Laura's brilliant. We really enjoy talking with her. We enjoy hearing everything she has to say. She's just amazing.
Did she share any insights that you could share with our listeners?
Yeah, actually, there is something because when you had contacted us to be on the show, you said one of the things we want to talk about is what's currently happening in the food scene in St. Pete. And there's some good stuff. And actually, right now, it seems like there might be more good than bad. It actually seems like more new restaurants have opened than restaurants that have closed.
Yeah, isn't that exciting?
It is.
But at the same time, one of the things that Laura said is that this is not the conclusion.
Right.
I'm going to tell you some good things.
Okay.
But if we had the same conversation in January, Laura thinks it's going to be a different conversation and maybe not in a good way.
Interesting.
But like I said, it seems like more new restaurants have opened. We know a few that have closed. But I mean, nobody's happy, to be clear. Everybody could be doing better, but some restaurants have learned how to at least survive if they can't thrive right now. And one restaurateur who's, I'm not going to mention names, but they have a couple of places in St. Pete that have been around for years, and they recently just opened a new place in Tampa, told me this when I went in. People need to eat.
People need to eat.
They want to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. And banks are still willing to lend.
So it's actually, it could be a quite promising time for restaurants and people who have a dream of opening restaurants and trying to figure that out. That's good.
Yes.
That's good news.
We've actually written reviews or published because we also have another writer. So she's written a lot of these for us. Shout out to Haley Heyman.
Hey, Haley.
13 places that have opened between now and March.
Wow.
Nash's Hot Chicken, Teak at the Pier, Doc Ford's at the Pier, Naked Farmer, Greenstock, The Blend, Italy Bottega, Dormet, Cellar Masters, Tiki Docks, Book and Bottle, Wild Child, and Urban Stillhouse.
Man, that what a list.
Yeah.
Not just opening any type of restaurants. I mean, opening significant scene setters, game changers to the culinary scene. So I think that's very indicative of what we can expect. I'm going to come back in a little bit to Dormet and T-Docs, mm-hmm. Doc Ford's, because I think what we're seeing there are some of the innovations at play. They're very open, breathable spaces. So we'll come back to that in just a little bit.
Sure.
Okay.
Talk about some of the innovations. But before that, I wanted to talk a little bit more about background and get your thoughts and insights on the criticality of restaurants and foods to a city's culture and the role that food generally plays in a community's social capital and connectivity.
Well, what does food do? It brings people together. That's part of the community.
Yes.
And I really feel when we started to watch St. Pete grow over the past 9 years, 10 years that it's been, it's really been the food scene that's exploded and brought this around. It's remarkable.
It really is.
I want to answer that by asking Lori a question. What's the first thing you do when we decide we're going on a trip out of town?
I look for a website similar to ours. I usually don't find it. I look for a Facebook group possibly similar to ours. I usually don't. But the first thing I'm doing is finding the restaurants we're going to and making reservations. And sometimes I have to do that through Yelp. But I read a lot of reviews and I go through everything before I make those decisions. And I book pretty much every night. I'll leave a couple nights open.
And where do we go and where do we not go?
Oh, local. Always
local.
Okay.
And again, I'm not going to name names. I don't want to pick on anybody, but there are some national chains and regional chains that have good food.
Sure.
But if I can get it here, why am I going to fly to, say, Chicago and go to a chain restaurant. I want to go to local independent places.
Right.
So that's what we look for when we go out of town. I'm sure that's what people are looking for when they come here to visit.
Absolutely. We hear that time and time again. It makes such a difference in our local economy and such an impression on tourists. You know, they'll remember many things when they visit a city. They remember experiences most, and so many of our experiences are based around a beautiful table and a good meal.
Mm-hmm. They are, absolutely. We have friends that own an Airbnb, and they told us, they're like, it's amazing. They come here and they tell us they found all the restaurant recommendations from your website. And I'm like, wow, that's so cool.
It's such an awesome service.
Yeah, it's awesome to hear that. It's good validation.
Very cool vision. You know, one of the things that this show works in the service of is our very intentional effort to move St. Pete along the continuum from a great city to an iconic one.
Mm-hmm.
And food has so much to do with that. When you think about great destinations all around the world, certainly in our country, even our state, so often food will surface as a big indicator of why that's the case in people's kind of hearts and minds and the soul of a city.
Right.
And so, do you think that we have the chops? We certainly do, but I want to hear it from you. You study this, you look at this, you go to other places and you compare. Is St. Pete a food destination? Are we on the cusp? Do we have what it takes to be there and stay there? Tell me a little bit about that.
I believe that we have what it takes to be there and stay there. I believe we are on the cusp.
I mean, we've come a long way.
We've come a very, very long way. But for instance, I don't know if you're familiar with Grace Restaurant on Paso Grande.
Yes.
Here's a new innovation coming along. And we wrote about this a couple of weeks ago. Chef Marlin is going to be opening up a restaurant called Two Graces, where the reading room was prior.
Oh, yeah.
And his vision is to make this an actual destination restaurant by building outdoor pergolas all around the garden.
Wow.
And he's going to create, like, I don't know how many they're putting out there, 3, possibly 4. I'm not sure. But they're going to create enough space where they have 150 seats. They'll be able to have a full liquor bar. They're going to have them all lit up and the tree lit up outside.
Nice.
And he really wants to make this a destination spot. That is something totally new, different, innovative, and exciting. And I'm really excited to see that come to fruition.
It really is. So it's as much about the ambience and experience as it is about the awesome meal.
Yeah, and also about, you know, thinking that one of the trends is more
outdoor dining.
Yes, for sure. So let's jump to that a little bit, because in that list you mentioned earlier, there were many that have outdoor dining or as much of their outdoor dining as the focus as their indoor options.
Mm-hmm.
I think initially it is a serendipitous tie to COVID, but do you think that an ongoing response to COVID will have us seeing more alfresco dining than ever before?
We do. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It's difficult because, you know, we have 9 months out of the year where it's so hot.
It's hot and it rains sometimes. It right
rains
around
a
dinner
lot.
Time.
Right.
And going back to Two Graces, they're addressing this by normally pergolas would be open, but they are going to have a roof over them.
So adaptations within the innovations.
Misters inside to help keep people cooler. And then the heaters in the, you know, for 3 months out of the year that they might possibly need.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, when this first started, I think, you know, everybody thought, okay, we're just going to hunker down, we'll wait for it to pass, and then we'll go back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen anytime soon.
And this isn't just like yesterday. I think, you know, at least maybe a month or 2 or 3 months ago, restaurateurs started figuring out, okay, the let's hunker down and wait for it to pass, that's not going to happen. It's not going to work. So like Chef Marlin Kaplan from Grace and Pasta Grill, doing the new spot in West St. Pete.
And also opening Gracie Pasta and Provisions as well in the midst of this, 2 locations.
Another obvious trend that I think it's not news at this point is a lot more cooking at home. And restaurants have adapted by having family meals packed and ready to go where it has a nice price on it to make it easy to do.
Il Retorno and Noble Crust are both doing,
you know,
that.
People want to get out of the house. They are going and dining in, but a lot of people don't want to cook and want some their favorite restaurant food, and they just bring it home. So there's a lot more takeout. There's a lot more delivery. Another thing we talked about with Laura Riley is that right now, nobody makes any money on delivery. The third-party services don't make money on it. They're just propped up by VC money. And the restaurants get a 30% taken out right away. So the prediction is that the delivery will evolve to where restaurants figure out how to do it themselves,
yeah,
where they're not losing money.
Sure. Where it's not a loss leader, but it is actually part of their revenue stream
right,
in a positive way. That's important.
It is very important. Another thing we talked to Laura Riley about was the ghost kitchens and kitchens inside kitchens, where they're evolving and putting them on these delivery services, but using the space that they already have within their own kitchen to create this new concept. And so that's already happening here. I don't think it's as widespread as DC, which Laura probably sees a lot more of it there, but it is happening.
Yeah, there's a lot in New York as well. Yeah, so the bigger cities, it's more of a trend, but it'll eventually work its way here.
Is St. Pete keeping pace with what foodie destinations all around are doing? Are there things that we need to turn our eyes to?
For its size, I think it's keeping pace. I mean, we're never going to be a New York City or a Chicago or anything like that. And we tend to, from what I see, run a little bit behind on actual trends going on in the bigger cities.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, one of the nice things we hear a lot and we say ourselves is that one of the things we love about St. Pete is that it has all of the amenities or the best things that you would like from a big city.
Absolutely.
With still having that small town feel.
Isn't that awesome? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The juxtaposition of that. You know, we're a southern coastal town,
right,
with lots of Midwestern charm,
mm-hmm,
and so much of the sophistication and the amenities that distinguish a large city. I think that it serves as a magnet that draws people here in a way that makes them never want to leave.
Yes.
And food is certainly at the center of that. And I think the role that our restaurateurs here and so many of our chefs play, that we have personality-driven,
mm-hmm,
places to dine.
We do.
I think that makes a big difference. Our restaurants become characters, you know, cast in the scenes of our lives,
mm-hmm,
as important memories are unfolding, and help mark milestones in a way that is so important. It makes me so proud.
That is very well said. I might steal that from you.
Please, please. It's not passive and it's not an afterthought. There's lots of contemplation and love put into our food scene. And we're so grateful. So many people are. You know, St. Pete's a city that people take care of each other. We try to take care of our city, invest in our city's soul, live our values, make our city a strong place. And one thing that I think our restaurants and our restaurateurs particularly exhibit in St. Pete, not only does it take capital to get started, but it takes courage,
mm-hmm,
as much as anything.
Passion.
And passion.
And you see that so much, especially with the chef-owned and driven restaurants. Just not only those restaurants, I don't mean to cut anybody out on that, but it is. It's just so much passion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beautiful. This is not restaurant related, but I have to bring it up.
Please.
I don't know if you watched the Emmys, but in one of Jimmy Kimmel's skits on there, St. Petersburg, Florida is mentioned.
What?
Yes.
What did he say?
It was like a Russian-speaking postal worker. And he says, oh, where are you from? And he says, St. Petersburg. And Jimmy says, Russia? And he's like, no, Florida.
Lucky guy.
Yeah, it was funny. Unfortunately, it kind of went where he said, yeah, you know, everyone dies there, but... But that's old news, as we all know.
Well, right now, we invite Jimmy Kimmel to come and see so he can talk appropriately about our city.
Exactly.
And how very cool and chic we are.
But I thought, wow, a shout out like that, even with the name, no matter what they say about it, is fabulous.
Good things are unfolding here, and that's cool. And we're on more and more radars, for sure. Food has everything to do with that.
It does.
Now, our listeners are usually people who love the city, for sure. But I think that your followers will follow you to this show. So I know you got to save your good scoop for your own show. But give me a little taste of something here. Any cool things on the horizon?
Well, I told you about Two Graces.
Mm-hmm. That was cool.
Yeah, that's
thank you
really
for that.
Cool. You're welcome. You got anything, Kevin?
I don't know if this is, well, maybe something on the horizon is hopefully, we started this year, we did our very first St. Petersburg Foodies Restaurant Awards, and it was people's choice. So this was not us picking our favorites. We let people vote. And unfortunately, we didn't get to have our live event like everybody else this year.
Right.
We don't know if we're going to be able to have a live event next year, because we timed it out for springtime, and time's going really fast. That's
yeah,
gonna show
it's almost
up soon.
Here.
It's ironic that I mentioned the Emmys right here, because we modeled that show after the Emmys. We wanted it to be glamorous. We wanted it to be in a just a wonderful night for the restaurateurs. They deserve to be celebrated.
Absolutely.
And a lot of them were so excited about it, and I'm so sad that we had to cancel it, but we're hoping next year.
But we did still have the voting, and I hand-delivered framed certificates to hang up on the wall of the winners for the winners. So we will at least have the voting again next year. So after the new year, start looking for voting to happen on that.
And what a great recommendation of finding a place to grab a bite. Is that list, can the list of the winners be found on your website?
It can.
Yes.
All right. Everybody go check that out. And I'm sure you'll discover a new place to find some food and find some fun.
One other new mention that I think was left off your list because we haven't written about it yet, but it will be written up soon, is Seaworthy on Tierra Verde, just recently opened by Chef Jason Ruhe, who owns Brick and Mortar, and they deserve a big shout out there. So great restaurant. We have been there once and it was phenomenal.
That's another thing we see a lot, restaurateurs trying new and different concepts, more than one throughout the region. That's very cool.
Yes, very cool.
And Brick and Mortar won Best Downtown St. Pete Restaurant.
Oh, because it's so good.
Yeah, because it's so good, for sure.
Jason's really cool, too, because he's the kind of guy that he will go out fishing and catch some fish bigger than him.
Yeah.
And he will break it down, and that's the special tonight.
Oh, love that.
He was telling us one time, we were in there eating dinner, and he said, you know, one day I want to have a thing where I get together with David Benstock from El Retorno, Chris Fernandez from Red Mesa, and we're going to have a dinner where everything on the plate either came from our garden or we hunted it and broke it down and like we did it.
That's
all.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
If that happens, when that happens, please let me know. I want to be there.
We will.
That's amazing. That's what it's all about.
It is.
The diversity of our restaurants are so reflective of the diversity of our city. It continues to be so every day. I know friends who try new foods that they've never had because a new place has opened, and it's now become one of their favorite meals and a part of their repertoire. And that's what we are all about here. So our food helps us celebrate diversity and the value that it brings. And thank you for all you do to promote that and keep our food seen at the top of mind and at the top of its game. And we're just getting started.
Yes, we
are. So we'll need you to keep telling the story.
It's our passion.
We're just about out of time. But if you have like 2 minutes, can we do a quick lightning round?
Sure.
All right. I'm going to say something out loud and then just the first thing that comes to mind.
And we can both just go at the same time?
Whoever goes first and then the other follow.
Okay.
As it relates to St. Pete, what would you say is the place to get a most adventurous meal?
Sola.
Yeah, that's St. Pete Beach, but...
Oh, right. Sola. Okay.
So in St. Pete...
He's the adventurous eater, so I'm looking at him.
You got the easy answer.
What about most awesome place to see the sunset?
Well, I think that would be the pier.
Yeah.
Right.
Man, $1 million views every night. Teak. So beautiful. Teak at the pier. Check it out. What about the best place to grab a cheeseburger in paradise?
I love the cheeseburger at the library. Oh, and Brick and Mortar, too. I'm sorry. I have to put that in there,
It's
too.
Okay. There's room for this. This is abundance menu here.
And by the way, last year we did the top 10 burgers in St. Pete, and I was still, even with the pandemic, able to update that. And we now have, pretty new, just about a month old now, the 15 best burgers in St. Pete. So there's 15 answers if you look that up.
There you go. What about best place to gear up for a picnic? So many places to picnic here.
Oh, I'm thinking Bacchus.
Oh, Bacchus.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's right there by the park. It's perfect
so
location.
So nice. I love Hawthorne's for that too. So great.
Mm-hmm.
Best place to pop the question.
The Canopy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Your center stage.
Good thing Lori's here.
And if you're putting together a group, the Brunch Bunch.
Oh, boy.
The Mill is so good.
The Mill is amazing. Mill.
Mm-hmm. And the Dats is so fun.
It is. Oh, where Coco doesn't do it anymore.
It was so good, though,
it was
right?
So good.
And Marchand's is so good.
Oh, yeah. Marchand's is great, too.
The hesitation is because there's so many to choose from.
There
not
are.
So
like,
true,
thinking,
right?
The Birchwood also has.
Oh,
the Birch and Vine
so good.
Has a great brunch.
Mm-hmm.
But Cassis is consistently one of our favorites, and it's been around forever. They have the best sausage in town.
They do. And I like that they open up at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm at the age now, it doesn't matter what time I go to bed. I'm still up early and hungry.
I'm with you, as are our listeners. So I hope that you guys will get good answers to this list on your own and check out St. Pete Foodies podcast and website and all good things coming out of Kevin and Lori's shop. Thank you so much for what you do and for helping us to make our city a great place to be where the sun shines on everyone. Remember, St. Pete, we're just getting started. Have a great day.